Okay, today I want to talk about giving and in response to really missions. Once a year, we usually take a Sunday and discuss the whole issue of our missions and the whole purpose of that. But I wanted to go at it a little bit different today, and I want to really talk to us and challenge us all in the whole aspect of giving. If you have your Bibles, I know you should know this, 1 John 3:16. It says, God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. But here's the deal. It's because God's love, he gave. God's a giver. And his nature is that he loves. It's his character. It's the fiber of his being, it's who he is. He's love. But his love motivates him to give. I've heard it said that you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And my point is that if he lives in us, and we're supposed to be born again believers, most of us that are here, most that are watching, if Christ lives in you, then the giver lives in you. And that he wants us to be a giver too. Giving life, giving love, giving blessing, giving hope, giving mercy, giving kindness. We're givers, not takers. The whole issue of when we're born again by the Spirit of God, he changes us to where our nature is completely changed because his nature comes into us and we become givers. And you cannot outgive God. He says, give and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. I mean, it's just you cannot outgive God. So he wants us to learn how to really cooperate with him being a giver. Now, in relationship to money, it's important because every one of us have to deal with money. There's no one that gets out of the issue of money. You may not be married. You may not have children. You may not have this. You may not have that. But everybody has to handle or deal with money. Because why is it so important? Because it's God's. And that was strong. That was really good. It's all God's. Turn, if you will, to Luke chapter 16. And I'm just going to touch on a couple of verses because this is an extensive, I mean, Jesus speaks on money more than he does on prayer. Obviously, it's important. People say, well, church talks about money all the time. Jesus talked about money a lot too. Luke 16, beginning in verse 10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Now, I'm just going to read a couple of these verses, but I want to just pause and think about what he's saying there. I've said in my own life, if I had more money, I could give more. Now, you probably never said that, but I have. But the Bible says, no, that's not true. The Bible says that if you are not faithful with what you've got, you won't be faithful with more. I mean, these are, harsh statements. He didn't say it might be, could be. No, he said, look, if you're unfaithful in little, you're never going to have the much because you would be unfaithful there too. And so it's like, well, if I, I've thought that. I thought, well, if I had more, if I could, I'd like to have more, I could give more. If I made more money, I could give more. I'd really be a blessing, right? But no. And he says, no, you just be a blessing with what you got. And he said, well, I don't have that much. Just say, be faithful with what you have. And it really has to do more with everything in life, not just with money. But this happens to be in a chapter talking about handling money. Verse 11 says, therefore, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you the true? And the riches is added there. But that's an interesting verse. So our handling of God's money, by the way, determines how we get to handle other things. Wow. I mean, we want to see the power of God. We want to see gifts of healing and working of miracles. We want to see things released. Could it be that maybe we've not handled his money properly, and that's been restricted. Happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. I'm just reading the Bible, so y'all want to get mad, just get mad. That's all I'm doing here. Verse 12, if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? These are interesting verses. You know, I mean, clearly we know really it's all God's. It's all God's. Everything's God's. But he says he gives us richly, freely to enjoy, says in 1 Timothy. It's just to make sure that your heart doesn't go after riches. It's not restraining. He's not restricting us. He's just trying to get us into the fact that he's a giver. He wants us to be a giver. Right. He wants us to understand it's not about what I can get. It's about what I can give. Right. It's not about how much I accumulate. It's how much I can release. He's talking about he wants to bless us. Rephrase that. We are blessed. We're already blessed. And he wants us to move from blessing, like Chris was talking about. We fight from victory, not trying to get to victory. So we've got to repent and change the way we're thinking, because we are blessed. Therefore, he wants us to be a blessing. He wants us to be faithful. If wherever you are with whatever you have, release it. You say, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, verse 13 goes on to say, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Why? They want your worship. God says he's looking for worshipers who worship him in spirit and truth. Greatest command is to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. But I want to tell you, mammon is a spirit that wants your worship. It wants you to bow down to mammon, to the spirit of money and riches and all of that it entails. Can't do it. Says it's impossibility. You either be loyal to one, but you can't not do that. And so it's important for us to recognize how important handling money is. Now, I just want to share my own personal story about what Susan and I did. Growing up, I grew up on the farm, and my dad farmed. Well, you don't have income every week. You don't get a paycheck. Only time he ever made any money was if he sold a crop, or if he sold some cattle or hogs, or sold some of the stuff he produced on the farm. But that wasn't often. But my family, my mother and father gave every week to the church. They believed in regularly giving to the church. Even as a little boy, they'd give me money to give and help me give. And so I grew up with that. I grew up with the pattern of seeing that given. Whether they tithe or not, I don't know. I don't know that whole issue. I just know that they regularly gave to the church. And they were, you know, I'd always heard about, that was ingrained in me. So after Susan and I got married and got out of college, started working, I was working commercial real estate, began to make some money. And I was talking to my mother one day, and she says, are you giving? And I said, well, you know, I want to, but I'm not sure where to give. And my mother was the gentlest, kindest person you've never, ever rebuked or really said anything. And she said to me, she said, if you really wanted to give, you would. I mean, mothers are not supposed to do that. I mean, come on. But man, she just nailed me. I mean, you know, if you want to give, you give. Don't talk about what you want to do. We aren't we easy to do that? Well, I really want to do this. I want to be nice. I want to be kind. Well, then be kind and nice. Don't talk about it. Do it. You know, so it hit me, and I realized that, you know, so Susan and I, we gave, again, whether or not we tithe, we gave off and on, to be really honest, sporadic. God changed our life in 82, changed the way we handled money, because we realized at that point in time it wasn't our money, it was God's money. And that really did change things. But then as we began to start the church and planning on starting the church back in 1986, you know, we got together and we said, you know, we've got to decide, do we believe that tithing is still valid today? This is a major issue. I mean, we give, we were raised in that, so we sort of do that. But is that still valid today? You heard all the arguments, tithe of the law, we're not under the law. You know, and you've heard the other side, well, you got to tithe or God won't bless you. Just on and on and on. I said, well, we've got to decide. We've got to come to a place of understanding, because it's going to affect really whatever we lead. And turn, if you will, to Malachi. You all know this passage. But at the same time, we went there and we read all these passages about tithing and giving, and just, you know, beginning in verse 8. It says, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. All nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. I read that, and we've read that. I've heard it many times. And I got to thinking about, what do I not like in that? You know, God says, test me in this. You've heard that. He doesn't do that anywhere else. He says, if I will open for you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so much so that won't even be enough room for you to receive it. I'll rebuke the devourer. What part of that do you not like? Call you a delightful land. Well, we looked at this and looked at all the issues and heard all the stories and arguments. Okay, clearly it was part of the law, but it was before the law because Abraham tithed. And really, when you get to the New Testament, you've got to take things through the cross. What happens at the cross? I mean, the blood sacrifices stopped at the cross because Jesus is the ultimate Lamb of God. But what happens to some of the other things? They pass through the cross. Well, listen, tithes and offerings pass through the cross and go to a higher level of giving, because God's a giver. He gave it all. And so he wants us to begin to be givers too. So anyway, we felt like that it was important, yes, that tithing is still valid today. Not legalistically, but as a principle of first fruits, of honoring God and understanding that when you do that, what you do is you put God first and you begin to acknowledge the reality that it's all God's and that he is the provider. I'm just telling you, I think there's power in tithing. I think there's power in not being legalistic down to the little penny of, I got to get 10%. That's not it. It's a heart issue. It's a principle of first fruits, honoring God with your money and honoring God. It breaks the power of covetousness and greed. It does something about the fear of poverty. Because what he's saying here is basically, look, if you will tithe, again, this is plural, so there's more than one tithe in the Old Testament. But if you bring the tithe and bring it to God, then what happens is, he says, look, I will make 90% go further than you can make 100% go. Now, I took a lot of math, and that does not work except in God. Now, it's amazing because it's not we're not talking about natural things, we're talking about supernatural things. He basically saying, look, if you will honor me with your money, I'll guarantee you to be provided for. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, having a big bank account and a big house on a hill and all that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about that. You know, hear people talk about the prosperity gospel. I absolutely believe in that. If you believe the gospel, you will prosper. In the fullness of the gospel, of the good news of what Jesus Christ did for you, will prosper. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about life. But money is also included in that. So again, it's not about how much you have. It's about how much you give. Now, I'm telling you, this is a hard issue. I mean, God so loved, he gave. He wants us to have that same heart that we would love, that we would give also. Well, the story doesn't end there. as I've shared this before also, as we started church, continued to move along, then as the kids got older and looking at the prospects of college and cars and college and expenses, not having any money, thinking, wow, you know, what are we going to do? And just that wasn't like I was worried, overly worried about it, but still I was thinking about it. And over a year or two there, process of thinking, well, maybe what should I do? What could we do? What can we do? And one day the Lord spoke to me and says, you're thinking wrong. Now, that wasn't a shock. I've heard that before. It's not like I said, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I'm thinking wrong. No, he said, you're thinking wrong. And he said, you're thinking about how to get. Uh-huh. I sure am. I mean, when you don't have, you think about how to get. Isn't that true? Yes, Lord, I am. He said, you need to think about how to give. And it's really, it's just like, lights came on. I went and told Susan and said, we need to give more. He goes, well, how do we give more? We've got a budget. We live off the budget. There's always the ability to give more. You just have to make choices. And we made some choices, and we said, we're going to start giving. And we've continued to increase our giving ever since that time. Now, they got out of college, and they're grown and have got kids. But the reality is that God provided, and he still provides. There's times of abundance. There's times that are not. But he's faithful. So it's just, my point is that, look, I want to encourage you. I want you to be blessed. In this particular area, we are blessed already. He just wants us to release that blessing so we could begin see the power of God being released even more so. So the question, do you tithe? Are you faithful with God's money? And that's really what he wants to do. Okay, then we came along to the church. And when we started the church, we had a discussion, does the church tithe? It's an interesting deal. Turn, if you will, to Numbers chapter 18. And these verses will be on the screen. I'm going to begin reading verse 25. It said, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak thus to the Levites, and say to them, when you take from the children of Israel the tithe, which I have given you from them as your inheritance, then you shall offer up a heave offering of it to the Lord, a tenth of the tithe. And so, based on that, we felt like that, okay, the church tithe, and we're to tithe. And said, well, who do you tithe to? Well, you tithe, in this reference, there's tithing to the high priest. We're tithe that we would give to those that pour in to us. So from the very beginning of the church, we took 10% of everything that's given here. Now, I'm not talking about missions, designated money. When we take up offerings for the people that speak here, all of that goes to them. But your general giving to the church, we took 10% as a tithe, and we've set aside, we began to support Dudley. We support Dennis Peacock. These are relationships that we've had for a long time. Support Bishop Bill. We support, yes, you're right. We support David Barton, Kelly Shackelford. And so we've, Elder Stoyer, these are long-term relationships that we've had for a long time. And we give on a monthly basis. We don't give everything that, giving goes up and down, and therefore we don't commit every, you know, try to get ourselves into trouble, but we give on a monthly basis. Recently, we started supporting Sean Morris and Michael Rand from this particular area. We're sowing into them. So the bottom line, though, is that we felt like that it was important to do that. And that if there, again, we're tithing, we're honoring, we're blessing, and pouring into those that have poured in to us. A few years ago, and we felt like that, you know, we're really supposed to raise that. And so we raised that to 15%. And so we give 15%. And we support the various ministries, and we support the people that come in there to speak. We're able to pay for their airfare. We're able to pay for their hotels or food. We give them honorarium. So we're able to be a blessing. And that's the reason we have guests, the reason we can afford have them in is because we have the ability to do that. Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 6. And I want to lay out the foundation for what we do and why we do this and how we see this. Matthew chapter 6 is all about handling God's money again. Verse 19, it says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys or where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also." Well, another verse that's interesting. How do you lay up treasures in heaven? How do you, I understand how to lay up treasures on earth, but how do you lay up treasures in heaven? Well, I think it's by giving, by supporting those that are ministers and that are doing the work of the kingdom of God. And so we felt like from the very beginning, you got to realize that when we started the church, there were six of us in leadership. All four of us were in business partnerships, and the other two were bankers. And so, you know, we thought, well, you know, we think of it in terms of investing. And so when we have the opportunity here, we want to invest in those that are doing the stuff. We want to invest in people that are expanding the kingdom of God. And so that's really what we've done from the very beginning of the church. We started supporting these different people. Ecclesiastes 11 says that cast your breads upon the water to a portion of seven and even eight. So we said, okay, well, we need to share with a couple of different people and multiply that. Now, why I'm sharing this with you is because, again, God wants to put a heart of a giver in every one of us so that we begin to recognize that, wow, he created me to give. I am blessed to be a blessing. And we are blessed as a church to be able to give and to support these various ministries. Now, let me just point out a couple of things. Dudley, for example, he ministers all over the United States, state of Texas, all over the United States, but he even does foreign nations too. Dennis Peacock is impacting really not only here, but really all over the world. Gerald assists him in a number of places around the world. We're not the sole support of these people, but our investing in them helps them to be able to do what they do. You realize that what effect that is, if you could chart this to see the lives that are being impacted, David Barton is very involved here in the United States, but he also is invited into nations. Kelly Shackelford, the work that he's doing so that we can maintain our freedom. All of these are amazing work that's going on. So if you could think about us as a little group right here, our giving and then our, as an entity, tithing into these vessels. You know, Bishop Bill here travels all over the world, works with and influences 50 million people in one group. It's got other influences too. Wow. You know what I'm saying? I mean, how many of us have that opportunity? But we have the opportunity together because we give and we can work together. My point is, I'm trying to paint a picture for you because we looked at it from the standpoint of storing up treasures in heaven is investing in people, in God's people. And that's what we've been doing. We've been doing that since the very beginning. Not only that, but we want to help. We've remodeled a few years ago, put the cameras in, the lights in here, and we've been able to film the live stream. We're filming things every week. People are watching literally all over the United States and even to various nations. We've had as many as 88 nations watch something that's been filmed here. Wow, I don't know people in 88 nations. You know, I don't know who else does, but the point is that that's amazing. So we've been able to film for a lot of different Bishop Bill, for Gerald, for Dennis, for Joe Matera. We've had Mark Rutland. I mean, we're able to film, and because the media team here, we give that to them free. Now, it's not a finished product. It's not like we want to put the front end of the end in it, but we give it to them free and bless them even while they're here. And so, again, it's another way of investing in the kingdom. So we're sending out, we're investing all over the place. And so, you know, what's our mission? Our mission is to be a blessing. And we want to be a blessing. We've been a blessing. And we're going to continue to be a blessing. And so we're investing in people. That's another issue. The kingdom of God is about relationships. So we're investing in relationships that we have, long-term relationships, and that we know what they're doing, or at least, you know, with best of our ability, and what they're doing and how they're going out and doing the things that are impacting literally thousands and thousands of people. Isn't that cool? Your giving is impacting thousands of people. Isn't that cool? I mean, a lot of times you don't think about that. Come to church, well, church, it was okay. Well, you need to get excited about the opportunities that we're talking about here. Grew up in church, we used to give to Lottie Moon. Not that many Baptists in here, obviously. Lottie Moon. And but I mean, you know, and again, it's that whole point of giving beyond, and that's what I want to talk about really next. It's the whole issue of missions. When we started again, you think about where we were coming from. We're coming from the business world. We didn't have a clue about missions. Susan and I had gone on a mission trip, one, and we thoroughly enjoyed it. But the rest of us, we didn't know anything about missions. But we said, you know, God said, go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So we already have been working on these others and these support levels. And so what are we going to do? And so when the Iron Curtain came down in Europe, we sent Joe Martin, who we sent out later to plant a church, Trinity Church. We sent him over there and said, find, because again, we know exactly what to do. Find proven leaders in those nations that we can get behind and we can work with. Again, thinking of, we want to invest in people that know what they're doing. And because we knew we didn't. And so we came back and said, I've met a guy, and I think it's the person that we can work with, is Daniel Matei in Romania. And Daniel was a huge blessing and still is a huge blessing to us, but he'd traveled the world. He had been in China. He had been traveled all throughout Central America. He speaks 9 languages. But what he told us, he said, look, don't come over here and tell us what you will do. Because it's easy for Americans to come abroad, to go someplace and to get all, wow, this is unbelievable, and everything you're going to do, go back home, and you get caught up, busy, and you won't follow through. So let's build a relationship, and let's see if God's in this. So, okay. So that began to help form our whole issue with dealing with, again, foreign missions, of finding proven leaders. Again, we looked at it from an investment standpoint. And we just felt like, you know, we're not capable of sending people and covering people from here to go abroad and to really properly cover them. So people who want to go, we say you need to go to YWAM or you need to go to a sending agency that can better cover what you're needing to do. But we started that. So we started working in the various places. And what we wanted to do was to find people that we could build relationally with, and then we would go and see their work so we could actually see and touch and smell. You understand what I'm saying? Find out what's really going on there.